By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. You see, that's the spirituality in that. And then, remember, what he said, is it in the fourth chapter, where he said, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the seventh verse. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding, and exalt her, and she'll promote thee. You make understanding most important. You lift that up as one of the most important things. I've been doing a lot of thinking along those lines. How much of the things of God mean more to us than the things of this world? You know? How much is this word of God and the what God's gave us, this church, the church building, do we lift that up? Is that a high priority in our life? The way we conduct ourselves, the way we dress, even when we come here, you know, you may think, well, I can't afford this or that. Be careful. Don't be going out buying fishing gear and fishing poles and fishing rods and hunting equipment and four-wheelers and motorcycles and all that if you can't afford to dress right in the house of God. What means more to you? What means more to me? Do I exalt this understanding that I have? And I put it up high. And I understand my calling, my purpose, what I'm standing for, what people see when they come through those doors. What we're presenting here, it's important. Exalt her and she'll promote thee. You want God to notice you? Make the things of God important in your life. Make understanding important. Get it. Preacher starts talking on something, get you a pen and paper and take notes. Go home and read it like the Bereans did. And be noble and that you get it. You go home and see whether or not, is this the way I got it? I'm going over there. I'm going to chew this again. If you're a clean animal, the first time you chew it, it won't be a part of you. You'll have to chew it again. You'll have to chew it and finally get it down into your character. Finally has to transform into part of your being. She'll promote thee and bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Oh, wisdom and understanding. Go back to Isaiah. Eleven and two, wisdom. I'm putting that's Christ's position in the body. He gives us wisdom. He gives us the mind of God. Look, I'm not just saying that there's just the ministry's the only ones that has this working. That's you get it. You get the Spirit of God when they give it. It works through these gifts. Matter of fact, it's not theirs. It belongs to God, and He puts it in them. He puts it in a ministry for what? For the perfecting of the saints. It's for you to get it. You can have the Spirit of the Lord in your life. You can have wisdom and the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. You can get the mind of God. Jesus can finally get fitted into your life. You can abide in Him. And if you abide in Him and He abides in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be. Hallelujah. There, you can become one with Christ. Hallelujah. So this is to be dispensed. It's not to be resident in anybody that It can't be given away. God gave this to be given out. Finally, look. Remember? Those four beasts around the throne, they're full of eyes within and without. These eyes get in all of us after a while. Yeah, if you're going to be an overcomer, I'll tell you this. Some preachers just may, they just may be lighting up one light. They just may have one gift. Some preachers have more than one gift. I think apostles probably have all five of the ministerial gifts. But some ministers, it's given severally to whom he will. Some pastors are teachers and they're pastors. Some pastors are teachers and evangelists. Some pastors, you got to be a teacher to be in the ministry. But it doesn't mean you're a gifted teacher. It doesn't mean you've got the gift of that specializing gift. But if you're going to be an overcomer, I just tell you, the overcomer's going to have all seven gifts. You think Jesus' wife ain't going to have, he ain't going to give her what he's got? Let me tell you, if you're going to rule and reign with him, he's going to put you over 10 cities. You're going to have the wisdom of God working in you. You'll have the sevenfold light that will work in you. And there's neither, you're neither married nor given in marriage. You women can operate in a place of an overcomer. See, you learn to work in order that God gave, the position God gave you here. You learn to work in order in the position God gives you in the new earth if you're an overcomer. You don't have any trouble working under Christ and doing what he wants done and understanding and having his mind. In fact, before this is over with, when we get into this divine order of God and a sevenfold light is working in a perfect operation of God, like Paul said, those of you that are married, be as though you're not. You'll get to a place where you are so close to God that you're even, I'm talking about, it'll be down in the end of time. See, I think we missed it years back when we tried to get men to separate themselves and become eunuchs. I don't think it was God's time for that, but there's a time in a divine order, in a sevenfold light, in a restored church, there's a place that you can reach in God. You and your wife can reach a place in God where you can release one another to just be given over to Christ and the work of God. You won't have a need for all of these fleshly things. You'll move into another realm of this inner being, this that has so much of God and fullness, a fulfillment in that. I've had men tell me, well, I've overcome the needs of the flesh. Well, I knew they just got old, that's all. They didn't overcome nothing. They just got old. But there's a time in God that you can become as though you're not married. You know, Paul said that. The time is short. It was in a short time that men grew to that place in God and their wives grew in it. In the same chapter, in the seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians, he let them know you have a duty as a wife and a husband to meet the needs of your spouse. But there's a time can come when you can grow in God, both of you, to a place that you won't have those needs. See, I still believe that we'll get to a place where the flesh doesn't have much meaning to us anymore. We just move into that another realm. It's almost hard to fathom, especially when you know, I don't know about y'all. Now, sometimes I just get carnal. You know, do y'all ever just get the feeling like I need a touch of God? I need God to just roll waller me around in the Spirit. I need that. Yeah, every once in a while I just get the feeling like I gotta have it. And boy, when a service comes where there it is, I just dive in. I just get in it get me a good dose of the Spirit. Because sometimes I just realize I don't have enough of God working in me. Brother, I never will forget this. Brother Patton was telling us one time. He was just sitting in a meeting, and he was sitting next to Brother Mears. And they were sitting there in that meeting, and he said he didn't really notice anything, but he said, Brother Mears, he said he noticed he wasn't very, cordial. Of course, I don't know how he noticed that, because Brother Mears, he's kind of like Billy Brown. Brother Brown said, I don't talk to God too much because I don't have too much to say. He said, you kind of got to talk to me to get me to talking. So he said, I don't hardly know how. I don't talk to God too much. I pray. I pray, but I don't waste a lot of words. I'm not a man of a lot of words. He said, but if you get me talking, I'll talk. But he said, God's not good to get you talking. He said, so it's difficult for me to have much of a conversation with him. Amazes me to hear men like that talk like that. Brother Patton said, Brother Mears said to him, said they were just sitting there, and he just said, I'm just in a bad spirit. Brother Patton said, he looked at him and said, you are? And he said, yeah, I am. I just need a good dose of the Holy Ghost. He said, I don't know what brought that on. But he was just sharing with me that, Brother Smith, sometimes you get to knowing that you can tell your dipstick is getting low. You're not registering too high on the Holy Ghost working in your life. I was thinking about that today, Brother Al. I thought, how long has it been since you talked in tongues? We need to get you wallered back out and wallering around in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes, people just, they have the Holy Ghost working in them, but it's hard for them to get back in it. I tell you, saints, we need, y'all pray with me, God will give us one of them, give us a refilling service here soon. God, just give us a gully washer. And if you don't get in it and it comes, God, well, shame on you if you don't. You better get in it if it comes. I feel like we need that. But the spirit of counsel, I remember asking God what these were. I didn't have a problem seeing the Spirit of the Lord or wisdom or understanding or even knowledge. A teacher. Knowledge fills this house. It fills its chamber with great riches. I can see that. A good gifted teacher just adds all these details. It just refines that light. You ever trimmed a lamp? You ever had a coal oil lamp or a kerosene lamp, and you trim that wick down, boy, it got bright when you got it trimmed just right. I'm going to tell you, when a teacher, teacher gets to trimming your understanding, when he starts giving you all of these little nuggets that goes right in with the understanding that you have, that just illuminates it just that much more. He just fills it with details. And the understanding, if you've got understanding, it'll add to it. Or you may not. You may read your Bible and just get all these details. And then somebody will get up and the Spirit of God will quicken them, and they'll begin to speak out in an understanding, and that knowledge that you've been reading the Word of God will just come alive. Your lamp gets trimmed and your knowledge increases, your vision gets greater. The spirit of counsel. I know that's the pastor's gift. He He gives you counsel. He breaks this down. He's a first partaker. He's a pastor. We've always taught that the five senses of the body was the apostle is the feeling. Thank God you've got feeling through your whole body. You know, you've got there's a work of understanding in an apostle. He can feel for the whole body. He's not just feeling for just necessarily a local church, but he's got a feeling for the whole body, the mind of God, and what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we've got to have that in every church, because we need to know what the mind of God's telling us for the body of Jesus Christ, what the general ministry's working on, and what the leadership of God is in the direction that we're to go in. That's why these general meetings are so important. I know there may be a time that we can't all go to general meetings. But I can remember, I'm going to tell you this. I remember, and I'll prophesy to you that it's going to come back in a greater way. I can remember a time when you couldn't keep me away from a general meeting. I longed for the next one. Brother, they were exciting. Y'all remember that? When general meetings were so excited, you couldn't, everybody wanted to go to them. I'm telling you right now, everybody was excited. They was taking off work, hitchhiking, saving money, trying to figure out any way I could get to that meeting. They knew something was going to happen with the people of God when they got there. They was going to get something. Well, God gives us, He gave us those times. That's what's held us through times like these. It's not that we don't get good things in meetings, but I can just tell you that excitement's not here right now, working like it was back then. But I will say it's coming back. It's going to come back even in a greater way, because there's a greater operation of God coming. And there has been some real great exciting times these last few years of God bringing the brethren back together, and there's an operation taking place. Well, I'll say when God gets us ready to, He begins to compact us a little bit, starts working on us, and God begins to give us an excitement, and we start seeing God do something among us that causes us really to be one. It's going to bring an excitement again. And I know the saints of God, they get excited when the ministry, when God begins to really work in the ministry, and the ministry get excited, it excites the whole body. Anyway, the feeling, the sense, five senses of the body, the feeling is the apostle. And the eye is the prophet, the seer. And the hearing is the teacher. That's where we hear the word of God. And then the mouth is the pastor. He's the first partaker of the fruit. Before a local church can get it, that pastor's got to get it. It's got to come from God to Jesus to an apostle. And finally, an apostle is over pastors, and that apostle gives that understanding to pastors, and they get it broke down. They break it down into a council, and the multitudes of councils are their safety. There's pastors in the body of Christ that'll bring safety to your life, because they can take the Word of God and break it down and counsel you in ways that the Word of God can be applied to your everyday circumstances in life. They can help you get this spirituality moved over into your individuality, your individual everyday walk. You can apply the Word of God, and the counsel of God's Word can begin to work in your life every day. And that's not easy to do. It's not easy to get this working in your life every day. You can come here. You can come here, and it tastes good, don't it? It smells good. It feels good. But when you get out there, you start rubbing shoulders with the devil. Matter of fact, he starts working in you. The Bible says this. It says, he that sinneth not is of God, but he that sinneth is of the devil. Any of y'all sin? You devil. Me too. Me too. But that's hard to face. Sometimes don't that aggravate you sometimes when you do something? You think, it makes me so mad at myself. And then you think, I'm not supposed to have that working in me. But these pastors that can break it down and help us get the light of counsel that brings light to our day and our lives and our walk with Him, our everyday walk, our relationship. Somewhere this has to get out of, I said it's got to get out of concept into relationship. You can't just keep having a concept of righteousness, a concept of standards, a concept of perfection. But it's finally got to get in you, and there's got to be a relationship with you and Christ, God through Christ, and a church and a ministry. Finally, there's a relationship taking place, and it's part of you. You understand it. You've got knowledge of it. It's working in your being. God's working in you. He's dealing with you. He uses people, ministers, people in the church. And this is working. It's alive in you. No longer, you're not just holding a standard, like I said the other day. This is first, it's the righteousness of God's ordinances. Ministers puts rules in your life. They're good, righteous convictions. They're good, righteous principles that they put there, and it helps you get separated from the world and the ways of the world. People don't know how to get out of the world. It takes a ministry to tell people how to get out of the world. And when they begin to tell you and you begin to obey, a separation takes place in your life. A holiness, a sanctification. And life, the life of God works in that. You'll feel it. Brother, the more you work to get your life really planted in this, it to become the main thing of your life, the more you work towards that, the more you obey what God's given this ministry, the more it'll separate you from the world. And the more the life of God will begin to work in you. God honors faith. He honors that. You're justified by faith. And that causes faith. The Word of God causes faith to rise up in your heart. God honors people's faith, even if they don't understand. But they've got faith to believe. Because they feel God working in their midst, and working in their heart. And then might. I had a hard time trying to figure out where to put these. Some of them. I never will forget when I talked on this years ago. I went with Brother Liniger one time. I can't remember even the circumstances. But I flew with him. I don't remember where we left from, but we landed back here in Little Rock. I never will forget it. And Sister Parker went with us. Me and Brother Liniger and Sister Parker. I don't remember if she took her with us or we brought her back with us. But she was with us when we come home. I remember that. Matter of fact, she was with us when we was in Gainesville. We was in Gainesville, Georgia. We went there. I never will forget this, because Brother Liniger was a pilot that didn't have much fear. I'm a scaredy cat pilot. I like aces, straights, and flushes. I like to know when I take off. Here's the deal. If you ride with me and I'm flying a plane, here's what you can know. I love me. And you're going to benefit from that. I'm not worried about saving you. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not even going to try to save you. But I'm going to make sure I don't die. I'm not going unless I... My wife will tell you, I fly expecting the engine to quit any minute. I'm concentrating totally where I'm going to land. From the time I take off to the time I'm back on the ground, I'm looking for a place to land when this engine quits. That's why I don't fly over water. You know, they say you can ditch a plane in water and it'll float long enough for you to get out of it. But you got to have a raft. You know, and you can get deflatable rafts. But there's sharks in them waters. And I want an extra engine. I want a twin engine if I'm going over water. I just want a little cushion. But Brother Leninger, we were in Gainesville, and we was going to leave that morning. He said, and I'm telling you, I was calling weather, and it was just, I kept telling Brother Leninger, there's no way we can get out of here. He said, oh yeah, we'll get out. I mean, I'm a pilot, you know, but he's flying. It's his plane now. And he had him go ahead and take us to the airport. And there was about 300-foot ceilings. I mean, 300-foot above the ground, it was clouds. Brother Leninger don't know how to fly in the clouds. And I wasn't an instrument-rated pilot then. I wasn't even as good a pilot as he was. Brother Leninger could fly good by the seat of his britches. I can just tell you that. He had a lot of common sense. And he just, you know... I mean, he was like brother. What was that brother's name in Fort Worth? Troy Layton. Brother Troy Layton was worse than Brother Leninger. Brother Troy, I flew with him too. One time, I told God one time. I said, God, if you will spare my life and get me out of this. I mean, this was after I already prayed and said, God, take care of my wife and child because I know I'm going to die. But we somehow got out of that fix. Then a little later, I said, God, we got in another one. I said, God, if you'll help us land this thing, I won't get back in it. But if we can't land it, if you'll spare my life, I'll never get back in a plane with this guy. I said, please, have mercy on me. See, I wasn't praying for him. I was praying for me. I wanted to live. Brother John Kennedy was with us in the back seat. Brother Layton said, are you praying, Brother Kennedy? He said, I'm praying. When we landed, I never heard Brother Kennedy talk this much. We landed in the mountains. Matter of fact, we was in the mountains in a bad rainstorm or just tree top high, and the wind was blowing us off, and I had a map. I was trying to figure out how to get out of there because we was lost. We didn't know where we was at. Brother Layton just reached over and grabbed that map and throwed it in the back seat. He said, forget that map and get a hold of that wheel. Help me keep this thing out of the trees. That's when I said, God, take care of my family. We just flying around in the bottom in a big valley. Because there's mountains all around us and it's raining, pouring down, raining, trees is blowing over, and we was just about that high above them. And we passed over a highway, a brand new 4-lane freeway that was closed, the barricades was on it. I said, let's land this thing right there is a runway. He said, oh, we'll get in trouble. I said, Brother Layton, we're fixing to die. I'll pay the fine, whatever it is. Land this airplane. He said, well, remember where that's at. Let's see if we... He said, let's look for a light spot in the clouds. I begged him to land it. When we finally got over another mountain knoll, and I don't have no idea where that highway is yet today. But we flew around out in them mountains in that rain. Finally, we was flying along, and I looked, and I saw right behind his head a number 17 runway. A runway. I said, I just grabbed the wheel. And Tracy said, what are you doing? I said, there's a runway, and we are going to land on it. And we did. And when we got out of that plane, when we walked inside this little old trailer. I mean, this was a little old rinky-dink airport. Had a little old shack of a trailer out there. We walked in there, and a guy looked at me and said, where did y'all come from? And John Kennedy, how many of you knows how quiet he is? He said, I'll tell you where we come from. We come out of the jaws of hell. He said, I didn't say nothing. There wasn't nothing else I could say. I thought we woke him up. He can get excited, I can promise you. Well, anyway, I talked on the spirit of might in Gainesville, Georgia, and Sister Parker got so mad at me I could see her. I could see steam going out of her ears out there in the congregation. And she got up behind me and testified and worked my hide over. Don't ever tell her I said this. Well, she told me how much Brother Liniger had the spirit of might in his ministry. Powerful man of God. Because I was preaching that might was an evangelist. She didn't want me saying Brother Liniger was a little old rinky-dink little finger. Well, I thought Brother Linger was a thumb. I wasn't worried about a little finger. But I just saw that the power of God, where the power of God was, the spirit of might. You know, if you go through the New Testament and you look when the power of God was manifested the most, it was whenever, I don't care if they were apostles, they were doing the work of an evangelist when the power of God was working. When Paul went out into Asia, he reached down in the, he was just doing a work of an evangelist when that snake got a hold of him and he just kicked it off. When Peter raised the dead, when they healed people, when his shadow walked by and healed people, they was evangelizing those areas. They was breaking ground for the body of Christ. When Philip went down to Samaria, that evangelist turned that city upside down, done all kinds of workings of miracles and healings. Nobody even got the Holy Ghost. But the power of God was manifested. The spirit of might was working. You know why God does that? He does that to bring to attention people, to get people's attention to his workings, his power. Yeah, when finally Paul settled down. In fact, I can show you when Paul started out. He started out as an evangelist. Look at this, as a young man wooing a wife. You know what's a woman looking for? You know, tell us, Sister Brittany. I mean, did Andrew have big biceps? Did you like his physique? Huh? What about his big old chest and them broad shoulders? Did you notice that? Did you ever notice it? You didn't. You wasn't sure. Little liar.
Right in church.
Yeah. These women—they're looking at the physique of these men. Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you right now. I used to be something myself. Yeah, Sister Smith, she used to just love. You know, she used to just rub my body, you know, just feel of it. Just feel of it. Just. Yeah. Well, she said I had furniture disease. Y'all know what that is, don't you? That's when your chest falls into your drawers. But it's just home folk tonight, so forgive me. But, you know, she said, I let it all, finally let it all out. I was holding it in. Finally, I relaxed. It's not true. I had it, but I just lost it. But Paul, when he went out, he was wooing a woman. Yeah. And he was using the power of God to woo her with. Brother, she was attracted. Those people's attracted to that man. And he gathered the people together and they gave him their heart. And a marriage took place. And he became a shepherd. But you know, you have a honeymoon, but it don't last very long. Before long you wake up and think, man, there's bills to pay. We got to have groceries. I've got to get up and go to work. And that causes a pastor to have to be a teacher. He's got to be a breadwinner. He's got to feed his wife, at least him and his wife. They've got to have enough of the bread of the Word of God to eat. In a little while, they'll have some little ones coming along. And that requires more knowledge. A pastor has to be able to feed a church the Word of God. That's why a bishop must be apt to teach. He's got to be able to teach the Word of God. But when your kids start growing up, you know what hits a man after a little while? Your kids get up so big, you quit worrying about today's food. You already got that figured out. In a little while, you start realizing they've got to get prepared for the future. They have got to know what's out here ahead of them. I've got to prepare them for life. They got to get ready for life. And that's when a prophet's got to start working. Prophet started working in Paul. He started being a seer out in the future and being able to help his children know how to get ready for what's out in the future. That's why you've got to have these gifts working. If it's not just resident in a pastor, that's why an apostle was so important. A pastor might be there and he might be a teacher, but there has to be a gift of a prophet working in people. And an evangelist too. There's got to be new people coming in. They've got to see the power of God. It's got to work. And by the way, we've got to have the spark of love, the love of God and the power of God working in us to keep us excited about what He's doing. And if your marriage is getting stale, well, go out on a date with your wife. Joel, you stay out of this. I'm going to get to it. We've just been busy lately. Well, so, and then finally, Paul got so many children that God gave him, enlarged his borders. He had a lot of land. He had a lot of land to work. He had a lot of harvest to take care of, and God gave him lots of sons to help him take care of it. Finally, the burden of all the churches came on him, and God gave him men with gifts to delegate that authority out to, and that's when he developed an apostolic. He was always apostle when he was called, but he didn't do the work until he developed into it. He had to develop. He had to do the evangelist of work. He had to be a pastor. He had to be a teacher. He had to learn how to prophesy and show forth and foretell the things of God. But that all has to work. It has to develop. And even in apostles, those apostles, they started out in the early church having all that burden on them. But I guarantee you that the spirit of all of these lights began to work in them, and it had to develop in them. It just wasn't there, but I guarantee you it didn't take it long to work when that Holy Ghost power began to flow, and because it was God's time. It was God's time for all of that. And this spirit of power and might starts out in the evangelist, but it works in all of the gifts. The hiding of God's power. There's a power of judgments, but the might that's resident. The evangelistic gift. You watch what I tell you. When God gives us a restored church and He gives us evangelists with power, New Testament evangelists, they're not going to feel ashamed about being an evangelist in the body of Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something, they're going to turn places upside down. There's going to be times when you're just going to have to let them work because they got the ball and they're running with it. Of course, the spirit of knowledge is a teacher. We already covered that. And the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom, and that's a prophet. Brother Liniger was a great prophet. He was more of a general prophet than he was an apostle. He may have been doing the works of an apostle, but Brother Liniger had a prophetical gift. Brother, God touched him in prophetical scriptures, and the fear of God. When Brother Liniger got on his feet and got hooked up, brother, you'd get the fear of God would work in you. You'd get the feeling like, I gotta get busy. I gotta get home and get to learning this. I gotta straighten my life out. He'd put conviction on you. When that gift would go to working in you, He'd draw things out in the future up so close you'd think, my God, this is going to happen and I'm not going to be ready for it. I'm not the only one that felt that, am I? Didn't y'all feel that? Amen, we felt that. The power of God, the fear of God worked in that man. And that's the beginning of wisdom. When you start seeing, you start getting a sight more than just, you know, when you just quit coming up to the table and sitting down and saying, put it on the table, bring me a fork and a spoon, give me something to drink, give me some more beans. You know, you're not just in this just for getting fed today. But finally, you're getting an overall general vision and you're seeing what God's doing, what He's going to do. In a little while, this thing gets bigger than that. You'll even start help set the table. Invite people in and start waiting on them. But you'll start seeing more of what God is doing, what God's going to do. And the fear of God becomes so alive in our lives. And God begins to help us. I'm longing for the seeing of this. But to me this is so plain to know that these seven lights has got to be manifest somewhere, and there's so many scriptures that ties it all together. Anyway, I'm hanging on to it till somebody gives me something better. Look, I think you and I, we're God has let us see. At least we can look back in that early church and see those lights shining. We can see how they worked, and we can see that God's touching men. We may not have this residence of this working like it worked in the early church, but we can see God's getting it ready to work. We can see men that God's touching and that the Lord's manifesting Himself in them, and that gifts are working. Even in the Old Testament, there was prophets. There were lights shining back there. But the Spirit of God, it wasn't resident in the gift. I'm going to tell you something, saints. And here in just a little while, God's going to have a ministry that's going to brighten this thing up. We're going to see brighter and clearer where we're going, what God's doing, and how to work, and what God wants every one of us, and what our gift is, and how it works, and how God wants us to be effective in our calling, individually, in the body of Christ. So get yourselves ready for that. Ask God to help you with that. Put it on the front burner. Say, God, I'm exalting the understanding that I have because I want it to exalt me. I want it to lift me up unto you, to be used of you, and so that I could be more effective for what you've called me to be. You'll never be happy. You know, we sing that song. The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search this wide world o'er, but you'll be just as before. You'll never know true satisfaction until you've known the Lord. For only Jesus can satisfy. Let me tell you, when you get to a place where you're just not quite satisfied, you're lacking Christ. You need more of Him. Let's come in here and say, God, I want more of you. God, fill up our vessel. I want to be satisfied. I want to leave tonight satisfied. Hallelujah. I want the Holy Ghost to fill me up. Be full of joy and satisfaction in the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, to drink from that well till I'm full and running over. Hallelujah. And it's splashing on to my brothers and sisters. If I don't get full, you get full. Let it splash on me. Let's drink till it's full, till we're full and running over. Let's get this well springing up unto everlasting life when we come in here. Let's get this well flowing. There's a well in every one of us. There's an artesian well of life right here in our midst that if we'll go to work on it, hallelujah, we'll get it flowing among us. Hallelujah. It takes driving the flesh back and getting a hold of Jesus and pulling on the Spirit. Oh, the reward. Hallelujah. The reward. Hallelujah. It's worth the fight of the fighting the flesh, getting it drove back. You know, you find an artesian well, you just go digging around it. If there's enough spring flowing, you get to digging around, that thing will go to running here in a little while. Hallelujah. Oh God, let the Holy Ghost flow among us. Let it work in us, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. I appreciate our young people. What a good, great, good group of young people. I appreciate Brother Andrew and Sister Brittany helping with them, working with them. I'd like to see us get a van load to go to Batesville Saturday night, this next coming Saturday night. Is it? All right. That's your moving date? All right. Well, we'll put it off a week, the following Saturday then. So put that in your plans. Not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday. Maybe that would work. Yes. Yeah, Brother Brett said he had come with his truck and trailer, and I'm sure your dad's got a truck. I've got a truck. 9 o'clock Saturday morning. All right, we'll mention it again Wednesday if you'll remind us. And Joel, usted viaje es en la mañana de miércoles? Okay, so he's leaving Wednesday, so this is his last night with us. But God did give us a little extended stay with him, so you might want to tell him goodbye, hug his neck again. And we'll see him again. If you go to the Dominican Republic in February, well, you'll see him over there. Let me make mention of that. Joel has a friend that works with some of the motel resort hotels over there. And they've got a resort hotel just outside of La Romana, about 10 minutes outside of La Romana, that goes all the way. You know, it's a beach resort hotel. I mean, it's a $150 a day motel, which is, you know, that's not all that high, maybe over here, but over there for a resort, and it's all inclusive hotel. Well, Joel got this guy to work a price for our meeting, so we've got an all inclusive. It includes all food and all drinks and. In a nice, fancy, swanky resort hotel. Of course, there's probably a lot of flesh there, but the accommodations are good, and we'll have transportation to and from the hotel to the meeting place. Morning, and it'll take you in the morning to the meeting, pick you up and take you back to the motel, and then take you back at night and bring you back at night after the service. And then we've got vans. There's vans that will pick you up at the airport in Santo Domingo, which is about an hour, at least an hour drive from Santo Domingo to La Romana to the hotel. And but the motels and the transportation will be less than half price of the, you know. It probably won't be any more than about $75 a day or something like that for transportation, and, you know, to motels are cheaper than the transportation. But these are regular $150 a day hotel rooms. So, so God's blessing us with that. And as a matter of fact, I had to pay for the 45 rooms. They wrote a check yesterday. We got to get some money transferred in the missionary account to cover that check. So, anyway, I just thought I'd make mention of that. Pray about it. The Lord may want you to go. He may make a way for you to go. You never know. I tell the Lord sometimes, you know, if you'll give me some extra money, I'll know what to do with it. You know, if I'm praying about something and I don't have the finances, I told the Lord the other day, there's a preacher in the Dominican Republic, I said, God, if you'll give me $1,000, I'll give it to him. That's Well, I know you want me to give him that. So I'm just waiting and watching the Lord. Here's a little pin that looks like goes inside a watch band that holds a watch band onto a watch. So if you've lost a little pin like that, well, it's laying up here on the pulpit. All right. I feel like I've been to church today. Praise God. Why don't we stand and give him a praise? Thank you, Batesville, for coming. We appreciate them, don't we? Every time they come, they bless us. They're playing their instruments. And they don't always testify, but you never can help but notice they're here. So, and I think they would if we give them room. Sometimes we just treat them like home folks. Anyway, thank you, Lord, God, for your mercy and your goodness to us, oh God. Go with these people, Jesus, each one that are here tonight, and your people.